We started a series yesterday. It's a four-part conversation about the person of the Holy Spirit. And this has been a beautiful journey already just in the one-part introductory yesterday, speaking about the word another. Because in John 14, verse 16, Jesus speaking to the disciples, he says to them in the last few statements he has before he leaves them, he says, hey, I'm going to pray to the Father that he sends you another helper. And yesterday we looked at the word another and understood that in the Greek, this is the word allos. And I know you might be thinking, oh, Kosi, this all sounds Greek to me, pun intended. But the more you double click and really microscopically look into what is happening here, you understand the weight of the picture and what was being said here. And you realize specific word choices that's been used in this passage of scripture that could sometimes be lost. So that's why we looked at the word another, which means another of exactly the same, exactly identical the same. He didn't use the Greek word heteros, which means the same but different, which is where we find heterosexual, male and female. They are exactly the same in the sense that they're humans, but different between male and female. Instead, he used the word allos, which means exactly identical. But now he goes on to say another comforter. But what does the word comforter mean in here? I was reading this very verse for you in the Amplified. And Amplified adds a number of words towards helping us understand comforters. It's advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. But once we look into this particular word, comforter, I'm going to need you to hold on a little bit tight for this one because it's a big Greek word. But I promise you, it makes sense and it's all worth it. It's the word parakletos. I don't know if you've heard this word before.
I have, yeah.
Have you heard this
in
word?
In sermons, not.
And you're just like, I'm not writing that in my notes.
Parakletos.
I don't know even how to start that. It's a Greek word, parakletos. Parakletos, which is it's a makeup of two specific words. The first half being para, and the second one, which brings us kletos, is the word kaleo. Look, I'm like teaching
linguistics.
I'm telling you. If there's a school out there that's looking for a Greek teacher, I am available. You can call me. I'll be able to help you before 3 o'clock. But what we're going to do in the next couple of minutes, we're going to break these two phrases down. Instead of looking at it and it's intimidating, parakletos, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, Kosi, you're losing me. I'm going to encourage you to stick around because we're going to look at the first half, para, what that actually means, and the second half, kaleo, in order for us to understand it together, to understand what comforter means, so that when we pray to God and we relate to the Holy Spirit and we speak to Him as comforter, we have this new perspective of realizing that, man, this means so much more than Holy Spirit that I'm begging to come and be with me and praying and pleading for Him to lead me and guide me, because we'll realize that, man, He's much closer than what we think.
This is the Afternoon Drive Show.
We're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. And I did say we're going to be breaking it down, the word comforter, with what we see in the scripture. And I know I at first it's going to sound like, oh, this is a lot for a Wednesday afternoon, but just hang with me for a little bit. It's going to all make sense. And when we looked at the word comforter, we realized that this is a Greek word that's called parakletos, right? It sounds complex, but it's actually made up of two words. The first half is the word para, P-A-R-A, and the second half being the word kaleo. Now, the word para is actually defining as alongside, or someone that is alongside, or it's defined as near proximity, or someone that's very close, or something that's very close. In actual fact, in Mark 5:21, we see this happen where they're talking about the crowds following Jesus, and then it speaks about how they were nigh unto Him, which is the Greek word para, which means they were pressing against Him. You kind of imagine this picture. You remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood?
Yeah.
We always think that the disciples actually says, Jesus, what do you mean?
Everybody here.
Like, this feels like a sale of all sales. It's like Black Friday. Everybody's trying to get into the door. Everybody's pushing against. And the word para is used to describe just how close they were to Him. And a practical way to make this make sense, it's like if I think about my wife and I are para to each other. We're alongside each other. We do everything together. She's always alongside me. She lives with me. She talks with me. She sleeps with me. She works out with me sometimes. she prays with me. She travels with me. Yeah. She's always with me. But because she's always with me, after 7 years almost of being married together, there's elements where she becomes like me and I become like her. They spill over. We influence each other. Where now, because of this constant alongside each other, we affect each other because we always para, because we're always alongside each other. So we'll share attitudes. So we're like, yeah, no, we as a couple, we don't like that place. It's not nice. Or we'll share feelings or opinions or habits that we share together. Like, we didn't like this, but now as a couple, we love hiking or whatever it is.
Just, and like different mannerisms as well. Yeah. You're starting to talk like the other person.
You've probably seen this also between yourself and your wife. Albeit married for a long time, but just by virtue of being para in the leading up to your wedding, when you're engaged, where there's a sharing of.
Yeah, definitely.
You share similar palates.
Yeah, the food palates. Because remember what I said about tomatoes and onions.
So look at
I think,
that.
No, wait. There might be a change. Who knows? But we'll see.
You see what I'm talking about? Yeah. Because she's para to you, you were like anti-tomatoes, and now you're going, okay, maybe there's room for me and tomatoes.
Yeah.
And in the same way, this is the picture para that's used in Comforter, saying, hey, first in that para, the Holy Spirit comes alongside of you. And alongside as in like right next to you. And I think it's such a strong picture for us to realize. And I said this in passing earlier, saying, if we understand this, we understand that our posture is not begging and pleading for the Holy Spirit to be with us. Which sometimes that's something that we find ourselves doing often.
Default almost.
Yeah, it's like default, Holy Spirit, please come.
Help.
This Holy Spirit, come. And it's just like, no, he's already alongside us. He's already called to be with us. He's alongside us all the time to lead us, to help us, to empower us, to guide us in every single step. And I think this is like a small little puzzle piece that makes us go, sure, this is going to affect the way I pray and the way I relate to the Holy Spirit, because I realize that he's with me all the time. He's constantly with me and he's alongside me. So perhaps you were maybe raised in a way that it's like this wonderful teaching of the Holy Spirit, which feels far and it feels like you need to pray for him to come to the room and all these things. And you might be saying, sure, Khosi, this is blowing the lid off of something that I grew up to be. And if that's the case, I really want to encourage you, before we continue to the second half of this word comfort, to maybe take a moment as we get back into the music to pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, thank you that I can be able to receive the Holy Spirit as my side-by-side partner, that I may be able to rest in knowing that he's there with me to go on this life adventure with me and to lead me, to help me, to guide me, to empower me, to help me in moments that I don't know what to do, to empower me in moments where I need some insight. I think the moment we understand just how close he is to us, we'll realize that, man, the way we relate to him, pray, will start to change because we know he's with us.
This is the Afternoon Drive Show.
So we spoke about kaleo, the first half of the word parakletos, which if you've just joined and you're wondering, man, this all sounds so complex, it's the Greek word for the word comforter. And we find this in John 14, verse 16, where Jesus says to the disciples, hey, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to ask the Father that he sends another comforter. And we're saying, hey, in order for us to understand this relationship we ought to have and you're trying to grow with the Holy Spirit, we need to understand what exactly is Jesus saying. And we've been really slowly kind of fine comb tuning and combing through the scripture to understand what this looks like. And we broke it down that the word comforter is the Greek word parakletos, which is made up of two words. First half is the word para, and the second half is the word kaleo. Incredible if you start to understand what this means. So the first one, para, which means comforter, being alongside. It speaks about someone who is very close, someone who's got proximity. And we spoke about how this means that the Holy Spirit is alongside us at all times. There's no need to beg and plead for him to draw near because he's always here. But now let's get into the second half, which is the word kaleo. Kaleo. And the word kaleo in the Greek, it means to call, to beckon. Is another way to define it. And in Romans chapter 1, we actually see the word being used by the Apostle Paul, who says he's been called to be an apostle. And the word that he used there for call is the word kaleo. He's been called to be an apostle. That's the picture of the word kaleo, the call that he speaks about. It's a strategic purpose that's in there. It's a very specific intention that the call happens, right? Paul is called to be an apostle. He's not just called just because they want to get his attention. It's to be an apostle. There's an end in sight of this. In actual fact, we see in Matthew 9:13 where God is calling people. He actually says God calls us to this fellowship with him. He calls us for the sake of fellowship with him. He calls unbelievers to repentance and salvation. There's a call for to. Call for to fill in the blank. So kaleo reveals, if anything, in light of what we're speaking about, that the Holy Spirit has been called to a very specific work. There's something specific that God has called the Holy Spirit to do in our lives, and he's been called to a job description of sorts, if I was to say, for us to be able to understand it in simple layman's terms. He's been called to be a helper. Friend, I don't know about you, but now I'm going, okay, this is just two words, but I'm realizing so much more. Another comforter, another, exactly the same as Jesus, who's been called. There's someone who's exactly the same as Jesus, who's been called to be alongside me, called to help me by being exact proximity, like near proximity to me, makes me understand my relationship very differently. So there's three things that we draw from the scripture, just from these two words. Number one, the Holy Spirit is close to us all the time. Friend, for some of us, that's a reminder we needed to hear on this Wednesday afternoon. That we've got the Holy Spirit who's next to us all the time. That when God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, it also looks like the Holy Spirit being next to you every single moment of every day. This is something that we're able to realize. It frees us into experiencing this and accepting this and being okay with the fact that the Lord is saying, hey, God is saying, I'll be with you through the Holy Spirit who will never leave you. But then second of all, he's saying, hey, he's not just alongside you for the sake of, you know, keeping a company and making sure that you've got with you. He's saying he's there to help you. He's got a calling. He's there as a caller. He's called to be alongside us. He's called. His calling is to be alongside you and I, believers, always. Just to make this make sense and so that you can imagine where this looks like applied. When we're saying always, it means the Holy Spirit is with you and he's been called to be with you. When you're going to bed, when you get up in the morning, throughout the day, when you pray and when you don't pray, when you behave maturely and when we don't behave maturely, when we are, you know, at work and those moments at work and also moments at the movies, moments at church and moments when we're sitting with friends for coffee. It's just like this reminder again that the Holy Spirit is always with us. And third and final thing that we see from this is that he's got this job description, if I could say, this assignment that he's been called to, which is to help us. This may include convicting us of sin. This may include to empower us for ministry. This may include to be able to pray for people. This may include just the imparting of spiritual gifts, so many different areas that the Holy Spirit comes in to help us. In actual fact, in closing this off, I want to leave you with this picture that I hope you won't forget as much as I haven't. Where someone was saying, you know, a practical version to understand and remember what the word parakletos, comforter, another comforter, the Holy Spirit as our comforter looks like. It looks like you and I traveling around the world and you're walking around to your house and you fall into a ditch, which many of us will think of one of two things. One will either think of Joseph or will think of potholes. Something that we see around us. But imagine you're walking and you fall into the ditch and you can't reach the top. It's almost double your height. That's how deep this ditch is. There's no ladder. There's no rocks. There's no nothing to get on. And you've fallen into this ditch. But the Holy Spirit gets into the ditch with you. This is the alongside. That the Holy Spirit will get into the ditch with you. He's not on the outside saying, hey, give me your hand, and he'll get into the ditch with you. Now, here's the thing. There are certain ditches that we experience in life that only people that have been in the ditch with us will understand. The pain, the weight, the loneliness, the fear, the worry, the doubt that comes with being in the ditch. And for many of us, you know, I'm talking about an actual physical ditch. But I'm also not talking about a ditch. I'm talking about loss. I'm talking about grief. I'm talking about a divorce. I'm talking about miscarriages. I'm talking about shame and fear and failure. The Holy Spirit gets into the ditch with you. But then, on top of that, he then kind of helps you by, imagine the picture of him getting you to be and stand on his shoulders so you can reach the top. And I know for you, you might be saying, but Kosi, what? Why is this picture thing that you're creating? It's just follow me. He gets into the ditch with you because he's called alongside you. And Kaleo, he's called to help you, which is like him letting you stand on his shoulders. And he stands up so you can reach the top. And yes, I mean, our brain then goes, okay, but what about him left in the ditch? But it's more about the picture of saying, hey, even in situations that we find ourselves in ditches and problems and situations that we experience, that we feel like no one else gets it. No one knows what I'm going through. No one knows the weight of being in this ditch. The Holy Spirit says, hey, I'll be in the ditch with you because I'm called to be alongside you and to help you. Dear friend, when Jesus says, I'll ask the Father to send another comforter, how incredible it is that God sends us the Holy Spirit who's been called to be alongside us and called to help us.